Michael Libby in the Business News Hour is supported by the Iowa Association of Business and Industry, Moving Iowa Forward, iowaabi.org. And Iowa Softwater, softwater for you, your family, and your business starts with iasoftwater.com.
Hello, and welcome back to the Business News Hour. I was just a little flustered there for a moment. This is a great opportunity for us because we have in studio with us Jessica Rowe. And Jessica and I go back decades rather than just weeks. And, well, I mean, that's true, right?
It is true.
It is true. And Jessica has been in the art community as long as I've known you. You were a director of an art museum and gallery and here in Des Moines as well.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're with the foundation?
Yes, I'm the director of the Greater Des Moines Public Art Foundation.
Very nice. And what is that all about?
Well, the Public Art Foundation is a nonprofit organization.
Mm-hmm.
It is organized to increase cultural awareness, to make Des Moines, Greater Des Moines, a world-class destination for public art. We do that through public-private collaborations.
And what does that mean? Here, let me tell you what I know, because I'm not, as you well know, I wish I were more artsy, you know. But this is what, this is what I know. I do know because I'm involved with some city government things out there that many cities have taken it upon themselves to display all kinds of public art in public places. Clive, Urbandale, I know Windsor Heights is looking at it. Is this a trend and a movement that's happening not only here in the Des Moines Metro, but across the country where we're seeing cities all of a sudden being invested in
Absolutely.
This? And why?
Well, historically in the United States, public art was really focused more with government buildings. But starting in the 60s and 70s, the government was really funding large public art projects. And it became very important so we don't look like a homogenous group. So you can go to a city and have some identity and realize that there's a sense of pride in public spaces. It's pride if it's unique, original, transformative. So the Public Art Foundation believes that art is in other places besides museums and galleries.
Sure.
It's in our public spaces, in our bridges, walkways. It's throughout the infrastructure of a great city. And what defines a great city often is its public art. In fact, Des Moines is very interesting because there were some recent surveys that were completed that showed that each year 700,000 people come to Des Moines, Greater Des Moines, for arts and culture. And of that, half of those individuals, that would mean more than 350,000, come specifically to see public art. And that's really fascinating.
That is
it?
Fascinating.
It is.
Because, you know, many times we talk about the other things that go on. But this trend about public art has been sneaking up on many of us over the past decade or so. And we do see it everywhere. And even, for example, as you well said, there was a time earlier in later in the last century when government would fund a lot of these projects. And earlier than that, in the 1920s and 30s, during the Depression, there was many, many government entities that were helping artists. And we have examples here at the State House and other places. But again, it's in buildings, and it's not necessarily outside of those buildings. Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Good stuff. Jessica Rowe is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. But we're not just talking about public art. We want to talk about something else that is amazingly important for Des Moines. And Jessica, you've got an event coming up.
Yes. In fact, this Thursday, there's a wonderful public event. It's a groundbreaking for a new public art project. And the name of the project is called A Monumental Journey. And it has certainly been a monumental journey. It is a very unique project. It commemorates and honors 12 African-American attorneys who did something really extraordinary. It's a little bit of Iowa history that most Iowans do not know anything about. So the project, though it's a public art project, in a sense has a social mission, and that is to recognize this accomplishment. And what happened was in 1925.
And this is a fascinating story.
Yeah, I love it.
This is a fascinating story. I'm sorry, I just had to break in because I have to underscore the fact. Listen to what Jessica's going to share with you.
Well, there were 12 attorneys, 11 men and one woman, who founded the National Bar Association in Des Moines, Iowa, in 1925. This was because the American Bar Association did not allow any attorneys of color. So imagine practicing law in a segregated environment, as our nation was at that time, and not being able to use the restrooms in the courthouse, not being able to use the cafeteria. Obviously, it goes far beyond that.
Of course.
But what these attorneys felt is that change could come through the legal system and rather than politics, per se. And so they began taking cases to the courts for very modest compensations. In other words, someone who was creating a segregated environment, some injustice, they would take to the courts and someone would be fined a dollar. But what happened is that cases built up.
Exposure.
And it really helped. What was very, very important is with these attorneys, and these attorneys all had extraordinary lives. As I mentioned, one is a woman who
How astounding in 1925.
Well, she was practicing law in 1918, and women didn't have the right to vote to 1920, so it really was remarkable.
Wow. And these attorneys that founded the National Bar Association here in Des Moines, Iowa, one can only start to imagine what it must have been like at that time, even to get an education in many of the schools. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we struggled with that even here in Iowa into the 1950s. And so this is a groundbreaking, and it's all happening at Triangle Park. And that's where?
Hanson Triangle Park is on 2nd and Grand Avenues. So it actually forms a little triangle. If people listening know where the Grand Avenue Bridge, which is now being repaired and closed, it's right at that point. There's a small park as 2nd Avenue goes towards the 235.
How did this project get chosen? Where did this come from?
Well, it originated through a conversation by the now past president of the Iowa National Bar Association and another president, I think, of the National Bar Association. They had a conversation. It was Judge Odell McGee had this conversation and recognized that this was a very, very important piece of our history that really no one knew about, and to try to commemorate it, to celebrate, to honor these individuals in some way. In 2006, this group, so it really came a community-based concept, came to the Des Moines or the Public Art Foundation in asking for some assistance for an artist. And so the Public Art Foundation went through a process and identified the artist Carrie James Marshall.
And now you have to drop the other shoe and tell us a little bit about Carrie James Marshall.
Well, today, Carrie James Marshall is probably the most celebrated artist and one of the great artists in America today. He is formerly a professor of painting in Chicago, but he began his life in Birmingham, Alabama. He was born there in the mid-50s, and as a young man, moved to South Los Angeles during the Watts riots. He studied with a celebrated muralist named Charles White in California, and eventually he won a fellowship to be artist in residence at the Studio Museum of Harlem. It was there he met his wife, who was from Chicago. They moved to Chicago. He was professor. And then just prior, a few years before the foundation reached out to him, he won the MacArthur Genius Award. And since that point, his career has skyrocketed. He's just an amazing artist. He's the only artist who's ever had a one-person show at the National Gallery of Art at the Smithsonian in Washington, D.C. And currently, his show just opened this week at the Metropolitan Museum of Art. It's the largest exhibition of any individual artist in the history of the Metropolitan.
It's fascinating. And this is the art that we're going to be featuring here in Des Moines.
Yes.
Stunning. Can you describe, because this is radio, obviously, can you describe a little bit about what his art is like? Experiential? What is it like?
Well, his...
And we'll have people there, hopefully, to see all this. Yeah.
Well, Carrie James Marshall went to art school, like a lot of people who went to art school and studied art, and also studied great artists, great masters through our Western art history. But he noticed something very unique when he went into the museums is how they were all white. And so I think if you take a look at his work, and he's very, very diverse in what he has created. He does paintings, he does video, he does cartoons, he does sculptures, he does photography. I mean, it's just, he's really very much a Renaissance man. But he his work, his large-scale paintings, somewhat reflect Western art history in that they are mammoth. They are what we call genre scenes, you know, sometimes quintessential picnicking, boating. There's some everyday scenes, but the individuals, instead of being white, are black. And he specifically, the color of the skin is mixed with paint to get a quality that is very, very black. It uses iron pigment and then black. And he does not use in his paintings black in any other part of his paintings. So the figures
really stand out.
They really stand out. And for this project, A Monumental Journey, he's doing a sculpture. And the sculpture is a very unique form. And at first you look at it, it'll be built in the next months, and it'll be dedicated hopefully in the spring or summer of 2017. But for the groundbreaking, we have renderings of what it'll look like.
And this is going to be Thursday at 5:30, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, here in downtown Des Moines. But you have a special guest who's going to be keynoting this event.
Yes.
And he's from the administration.
Yes. His name is Broderick Johnson. He's assistant to President Obama, cabinet secretary to the president, and chair of My Brother's Keeper's Task Force. He's very, very interesting gentleman. Mr. Johnson started his career at the House of Representatives drafting landmark legislation, including the Family and Medical Leave Act. He served as chief counsel for the House Committee of the District of Columbia, and previously he was vice president of AT&T and Bell South Corporations, and he was a partner in Brian Cave, an international law firm, and he headed up the Public Policy and Government Affairs Group. So he served on a lot of philanthropic groups, including Concerned Black Men, Project North Star, and the Center for American Progressive Action Funds. So we're thrilled that he is here. He will be here.
On Thursday.
On Thursday.
Yes. And this is Thursday, November 3rd, 5:30 in the afternoon at the Hanson Triangle Park on the northeast corner of Grand and Second Avenue. We will have links to all of this information on the radio blog as well. Good stuff, Jessica, as always.
Very exciting.
It is exciting, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And I had no 1925. That really is astounding. And how many people would know that?
Well,
that's the point, right?
I think what's wonderful about the job I have is I'm learning many amazing things. And learning about these 12 attorneys has been phenomenal. And to work through this process and to have this project happen really is a tribute to the board of directors of the Greater Des Moines Public Art Foundation. I'm also hoping that this work will sort of shift the conversation rather so it doesn't polarize our nation, to really bring us together, because it's really an affirmation and celebration of accomplishments.
Absolutely. Good stuff. That is on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. All right, we've got to scoot aside. Coming up, we will check out what's going on Wall Street today. Speaking of angst, there's a little angst among investors these days in the closing days of the presidential election. That's next on the NewsHour.